Welcome back to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr. So this is what the Aware Show is all about. First, we're mind, body, spirit. We just talked all about the spirit. Now we're talking about our bodies, because we all have one if we're listening right now. And it's really, really a good idea to be responsible for that beautiful body that takes you around every day and every night. So let's talk about, well, today, this specific topic is going to be about your internal health and your various ways to support that type of internal health. My guest is Marti Wittekin. She's a certified clinical nutritionist, host of her own national syndicated radio talk show, Healthy by Nature. And she is a wonderful leader in the nutrition industry, has been with us before on the Aware Show. Thank you so much for joining me again, Marti.
Oh, it's certainly my pleasure.
Today we're talking a little bit about diabetes and the whole epidemic that it has become in America. It's a little bit of a sleeper. There's type 1 and type 2, right, Marti?
There is. And type 1 used to be considered the one children would get. That was, and it's an autoimmune disease where the body attacks the cells in the pancreas and it can no longer produce insulin. And that's type 1. Type 2 was considered adult onset diabetes.
Right.
And that came much later. As it turns out now, the definitions are getting kind of mixed because we have adults that are developing type 1, we have children developing type 2, right, and altogether it's a really big mess.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's crossed so much?
Well, and I should say it's a huge problem. There are over 20 million diabetics that are already diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. There's 60 million or so that have prediabetes, which is, they're very close, and it's kind of an arbitrary line that they draw between the two. And a recent study by one of the big insurance companies was that they estimate, based on all their actuarial data, that in the year 2020, half of the population will be diabetic. So the trends are not good at all.
How does someone know if they have a pre-diabetic condition?
Well, there's a whole collection of symptoms that they might have. You could suspect that you've got blood sugar instability if your waist size is over 35 for women or over 40 for men. There's a collection of things like acid reflux, if you get sleepy after meals, skin tags, high blood pressure, if you have that combination of low, good cholesterol, the HDL, and high of the LDL, those are a lot of the clues. The best way to know, though, is really to have some blood tests run and do a fasting glucose test and know whether your blood sugar is running high.
And there's various tests for stuff like that. So, all right, well, let's talk about things that would cause diabetes. You mentioned sugar, low blood sugar levels and so forth, and foods that are high in fat. Why do those things bring on something like a disease like that?
Well, I don't think I must have misstated it if it sounded like I was talking about foods that are high in fat, because I don't think that's really a major part of the problem, as it turns out.
Okay.
All the recent studies are pointing the other direction, that the fact that we've worked so hard to get the fat out of the diet has been one of the things that contributed to our eating so many refined carbohydrates and sugars. And those are much more suspicious, more to blame. There actually are quite a number of predisposing conditions, and the one we can't do anything about is genetics. We've already picked our parents, and that part's done. But there are so many other things, like toxins. There are a whole lot of drugs that cause diabetes, stress. We know that Tai Chi and various meditation and prayer, all of those help. I think, though, mostly, and of course, smoking is bad for everything. Low vitamin D, probably bad for everything.
Uh-huh.
Too little exercise, bad for everything. But I think mostly it comes down to eating too much of the wrong foods.
Okay.
And our digestion.
Now, you talk a lot about cultured foods and fermented foods, which I'm learning a lot about. I have I had the opportunity. I spent some time with Donna Gates, and she showed me how to make these cultured foods. And it's a whole incredible different world, cultured foods. Explain what they are.
Well, in a lot of, I was going to say cultures, but then we'll get that confused. A lot of other
countries.
countries and ethnic groups, they ferment a lot of foods because two good things happen when you ferment foods. One, they become more digestible. It's easier to get the nutrients out of it. They become less annoying to our system. For example, sometimes people can get by with fermented dairy products where they have problems drinking milk. But the other thing is that it develops lots of good bacteria that go down and help support your digestive tract.
Well, what is, let's back up for a second, what is a fermented cultured food?
Oh, yes, I didn't exactly answer that straightforward. They are foods that have been treated with either, usually with bacteria, sometimes with
enzymes,
yeast type foods, but the bacteria work on it and it change the composition of it.
And now it's not necessarily the yeast that people are allergic. It's enzymes, right?
Right.
Cultures.
They produce enzymes. The bacteria do that and break down the foods.
When I did the cultured foods, we shredded a bunch of vegetables and put in a culture starter, which was like in a little package. Is that the way that you usually start a cultured food process?
I'd say more often around the world, they take some food that's already been cultured and add it to food that hasn't been, and then the bacteria say, oh, lots of new food, and they
go
out there. And I've actually taken a probiotic capsule and put it into some, basically into slaw and turned it into sauerkraut.
Great idea. Oh, you can do that. So the Dr. O'Hara's probiotics that we've talked about before on the fund drives and so forth, which are the ones I love because they are actually the cultured food inside of the probiotic. It's not a freeze-dried thing. It's actual food. You can take that and chop it up and put it in food.
Yes, you can. And
great idea.
I thought it was going to, you know, create, it was like a science experiment. It got
bubbly.
You could tell it was alive because it started bubbling and growing, and you got to watch what kind of container you put it in.
Right, because it expands. You have to leave room in the container. This is what Donna taught me. So you leave a little room. She puts like cabbage leaves in the top of the container so it has room to grow and absorb. And so what this does is it treats the food with enzymes so that when you eat the food, the enzymes are already essentially broken down and easier to digest?
Yeah, it's kind of done the digestion for you.
Fascinating, isn't it?
And they do the same thing in your digestive tract if you've got the right bugs down there, because we don't make nearly all of the enzymes and the different substances that we need to make in order to digest food. And, for example, fiber, humans don't make an enzyme to break down fiber, but the little bugs do. And so that's how we get a lot of the good out of our vegetables, is that they're broken down by the bacteria and made accessible. And then that feeds the lining of the digestive tract so that we get good peristalsis, that movement that gets the food to go through the way it's supposed to, and we get better absorption and all of that.
I mean, not only do we not eat enough enzymes in our food, we don't eat enough live enzymes in our food, but we kill the enzymes that are in there on a daily basis with toxins, stress, coffee, you know, lots of things like that that are just pouring acid on our intestines, right, essentially. Is that right?
Right, and it takes a lot of amino acids out of the protein. It takes vitamins and minerals to create enzymes. So if we're eating a depleted food supply and then we're cooking the raw food so that we kill the enzymes that are in there, then we're really putting a stress on the body to be able to digest its food. And then we compound that by taking antibiotics and killing off the bacteria that were our team of digestion.
Uh-huh. Such an interesting concept. So can you give me examples of cultured foods other than, I know sauerkraut is one of them, but kind of a hard one to put on eggs. What's another example of cultured foods?
Well, the most common one in the U.S. is yogurt, which is a cultured milk. And you can make your own yogurt, and you probably end up with a much better product than you would get from the grocery store. I worry a little bit about all the sugar and, right. and the artificial sweeteners and so on that are in commercial yogurt. But you can make your own cultured vegetables. I buy mine at the – I'm lazy and busy, and so I get mine in a jar at the natural food store. You can buy live cultured vegetables and cultured sauerkraut. But you can also get cultured soy products like tempeh and miso. Soy sauce is a fermented product. The problem with a lot of the big commercial brands in the U.S. is that there's so much concern about bad bacteria that they pasteurize it, if they even make it right. as a culture to begin with. Sometimes we just sort of fake it. But if we do culture it, then we pasteurize it, and we kill off the good bacteria.
It's interesting. Yeah, the cultured food thing, it's great if you can learn to make it at home. But, I mean, as I said, what we did is we had a culture starter, and then and as you mentioned, you can do it with the Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics 12+. You could get that at Whole Foods or wherever you can, or I used Donna Gates's culture starter, and we put it in and started it off. You put it in a little hot water to activate it. And then you pour it in, all of your chopped vegetables, put it in a jar, and let it sit for 3 days, and it starts to ferment. And then you can use it as a salsa, as a garnish, in vegetables, however you want to do it. But it basically cooks itself by cultivating the right bacteria, the super strength, the strong bacteria in there. And it's a great, incredible support for the gut system. And then you eat about 3/4 of the jar, you take the last quarter and you start the process again with the, you know, new chopped vegetables and so forth, but you use that as your culture starter.
Right, exactly.
And I wonder if you could do this with coconut milk. I wonder if you could take the Dr. O'Hara's, put it in coconut milk, allow it to ferment. I'm going to try that. What do you think?
Yeah, please, do report. I'll put it in my newsletter. I have a free newsletter, and I put little tips in it like that.
Yeah, like cultured coconut milk, because those are things. I mean, that sounds actually really easy. I'm going to try that. I'm going to take the Dr. O'Hara's, put it in the bottom, and see if it ferments the coconut milk, and then that becomes a super, super product as well.
Sounds yummy too.
It does. I mean, it's a little sweet, but it's good. You've got to get the right organic type of coconut milk so that it doesn't grow the bad guys. But there's so many different ways you can experiment with cultured foods, and this is really one of the what I'd learned is that you can actually combat food allergies by taking the cultured and eating the cultured foods. So I, for example, I'm allergic to red peppers. We had put red peppers in this in the foods that we did, but I didn't have a reaction from it because the cultured enzymes wound up overriding the reaction that I usually had to the peppers. It's just a...
That would really work especially well for people that have food sensitivities where little bits of undigested food have crossed the barrier in the intestinal tract and have gotten into the bloodstream and annoyed the immune system. That's called leaky gut. I think we may have talked about that before.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't know that I would encourage anybody to try it if they have the type of allergy to peanuts where they go into anaphylactic shock. That may be...
No, I'm glad you said that.
Could ask of the enzyme.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Please don't do anything like that.
We don't want anybody calling us from the emergency room saying, hey...
You said I could get over my peanut allergy. No, thank you very much. I'm glad you said that. But you can, and this is things that you don't need to add... I mean, the foods are so complete that you really don't need to add anything to them like sugar or anything like that. That would just defeat the entire process. So,
well, we're getting so much sugar. I mean, our ancestors did not eat 150 pounds of sugar a year. And when you ask what causes this diabetic epidemic we're having, I am actually working on a book on that, and maybe you'd be kind enough to have me back when it's finished, but... One of the things that occurs to me is that we have been given bad advice. One bad advice was, as I mentioned, to cut out all the fat and replace it with starch and sugar. And even with the original food pyramid, had that advice. They also told us to stay out of the sun, and we found out that we need vitamin D to prevent diabetes. And we've been given the advice to, you know, do whatever you want to, and then we've got a drug for it. Well, the drugs are causing it. We've got to sort all this out, and the biggest single thing we can do is to stop eating so much sugar.
Yeah, and sugar especially is found in, we're running out of time here, but is in, if you ever eat the buns at fast food restaurants, those things are just loaded with sugar, tons of sugar there. It's a hidden thing, and it causes a lot of things in your body to go wrong, especially depression. All right. Thank you so much, Marty Wittekin. That's a whole other show. But yes, I'd love to have you back on about that. And thanks for the information today about the cultured foods, about the probiotics, all that great stuff. Thanks very much for being with me today.
Okay, well, thank you. And if people want my free newsletter, they can go to RadioMarty.com. And if you're passing through the airport, try to ignore the smell of the cinnabons.
Yeah. Just the mall. Good idea. All right. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
All right. This is Lisa Gar. You've been listening to The Aware Show. Thank you so much, G, the engineer here at KPFK, Tanya Jenkins, Gina Salvati, the wonderful producers of this radio show, and all of you mostly for listening. Thank you so much. This is Lisa Gar. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.